Pure Dog Talk is the podcast on purebred dogs. We talk to the legends in the sport and give you tips and tools to create an awesome life with your purebred dog. From showing to preservation breeding, from competitive obedience to field work, from agility to therapy dogs, and all the fun in between, your passion is our purpose. Pure Dog Talk is sponsored by ChampionshipBreeders.com. Championship Breeders is a proud supporter of the American Kennel Club, our specialty and all breed clubs, our dog sports, and the gifts of therapy and service from our canine companions. Welcome to Pure Dog Talk. Becky Sumner, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So, Becky, you are the part owner of Barre Dog Show Superintendent, correct?
Right.
And you purchased that business in 2014 and are working it with Sheila Raymond, right?
That's correct. Yeah, Sheila and I are partners. She was a principal from the start of the business, and her former partners retired. So she called me, wanted to know if I was interested. I had a retail store at the time. Retail's not really where it's at. So I jumped at that opportunity, and here I am.
Excellent. And I know I've known you forever, and you started in dogs back in the early 80s, yeah?
Correct. Yep.
Awesome.
Started with Rottweilers, still have Rottweilers. And in the interim, I had some mini wire and mini smooth dachshunds and Tibetan Spaniels and Whippets. Still
Excellent.
Have some Whippets.
Excellent. And lovely Whippets, I have to say. Okay, well, Becky, what we're talking about today, we want people to know a little bit more about what does a dog show superintendent do, right? Because it's sort of a magical mystery tour of what happens at the dog show. So can you kind of fill in the blanks for us a little bit?
Sure, yeah, because it doesn't just happen automatically. There are seven superintendents in the country, in the U.S., and we're all licensed by AKC. AKC requires the superintendent to be licensed, and they have pretty strict rules on that. They rely on experience, dog show experience, and your financial statement. And I'm sure the financials are because of, you know, the amount of money that we hold basically in escrow
right.
for the clubs. So the clubs hire a superintendent, and they tell us whether they want a package show or a full-service show. Full-service is what most people are going to be familiar with. That's like the group shows and the all-breeds where we go set up equipment. Sometimes we have clubs that have their own equipment, and that's wonderful and saves them some money. But most of the time, we set up the show and are there in person. A show secretary can do a what's called a package show, or rather than having us be on-site, we do everything but the on-site, and the show secretary doesn't have to be licensed, and they can be named by the club and put in the premium list as the show secretary. We send them what's called a show in a box, and they basically get to the show site, open their box, and they have everything that they need, their catalogs, their judges' books, ribbons if they've ordered ribbons from us, armbands, everything right down to the rubber bands.
Awesome. Okay, so
yeah.
So basically a show, and this is a good distinction because I'm not sure everybody understands it, a show secretary is not a show superintendent because they are not licensed, correct?
Correct.
And
correct.
Pretty much anybody could be a show secretary? How does that work?
Anybody can be a show secretary. Obviously, the club that hires that person is going to want some experience, I would think. And a show secretary can actually do an all-breed show or a group show. They're limited to one per year, and they have to be members of the club. So,
okay.
For instance, if you were a member of an all-breed club and you said, hey, I want to do this job, I want to be the one on site, you could do that once per year.
Right. Okay.
And most clubs don't do that because it's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. So let's talk about what is it. Let's start your day just at the dog show. Never mind what you do behind the scenes. Let's say you're starting your first day at the dog show. How does your day go?
Well, our day starts the day before the dog show.
There you go.
Because we have to lug all the stuff that we need for that dog show there and unpack and sort. And, you know, we do a certain amount in the office prior to, but we come in, we set up an office for an all-breed show. We have our ribbons sorted. We do ring bags for the ring stewards. And they have their judges' books, their stewards' books, their ribbons. their armbands, their, you know, radio if they need radios. We give them a little cheat sheet for NOHS, just basically all the supplies that they need for their ring for that day. And that goes out. We pick up sheets from the judge's books during the course of the day, check them for errors because it's much easier to correct an error in a judge's book that's been marked while the judge is still there
right.
than trying to track them down after the fact.
Right. So tell me about what are some of the kind of errors that you might see in a judge's book? What happens with that?
Oh, they might mark, you know, you might have a first place in a class and a first and second in a class, and they might mark the dog that was first winners and then maybe the dog that was second that isn't eligible for reserve. Sometimes, you know, everybody has brain cramps once in a while, so you might have 5, 7, and 9 in your book, and 5 is second and 9 is first and 7 is marked 7. We see that a lot.
Right, okay.
We just watch for those kinds of things. The NOHS adds another level because, or best puppy, or best bred by, you know, once in a while a judge will make a mistake and they'll mark 12 to 18 best puppy, and they're not eligible. So
right.
we just catch that. And then we mark our group books as the day goes on, and we try to get results in because we try to put our results up. We strive real hard for the same day or within 24 hours of getting our results posted to the website. So it's a busy day, and
right.
you know, we deal with move-ups and changes and juniors that are changing dogs because their junior dog doesn't feel good or
came
you
know, in season or
girls in season for obedience and rally and refunds, and you know, there's all kinds of busyness that goes on at the table all day long.
Right. Okay, so I think one of the things that people don't really fully appreciate with the superintendent is the exhibitor sends you their entry form. So let's step back. Okay, we've done the day at the dog show. Let's go back to when the entries open and when the entries close. The exhibitor sent you their entry form. And talk about some of the things that you see come through and what are some of the common mistakes? What are things that you deal with at that point in time, 2 or 3 weeks ahead of the dog show?
Well, one of the things, I'll go back even further. I think there's a misconception that the superintendent makes decisions about classes offered, about NOHS being offered, about All-American dogs being allowed to be in obedience and rally.
Right.
That's all information and decisions that are made by the club.
Okay.
So we're employees of the club. They get their approvals from AKC for their shows. They decide what the price is going to be for their entries. They decide what they're going to offer, what they're not going to offer. We once in a while get an angry call. Most of our people are pretty happy for the most part, but they'll say, why aren't you offering NOHS? Well, that's not our decision. That's up to the club.
So separation of church and state happens at the dog show, too.
Happens at the dog show, yeah. So the clubs hire us to handle the administrative needs of their show, but we don't make the decisions as to what goes into that show. We don't hire judges. We don't choose classes. We recommend a bit as far as like timing for the schedule. Typically, we do the schedules. That can be not a lot of fun because we try to accommodate requests as much as possible, but we're human. There's only so much a person can do. And, you know, we'll have every now and then, for instance, we just had an issue where we had a breed that was, you know, we had 3 requests. One was for an 8 o'clock ring time, one was for an afternoon ring time, and then the club that hired us asked for a mid or late morning ring time for one breed. And
this is all requests for the same breed?
For the same breed, correct.
Oh,
so, you know, we go with what the club asks us to do
right.
because the club is the boss.
Right.
In that situation. So you can't make everybody happy, but we try.
Yeah.
What happens then, once I send out contracts to the clubs, they sign the contract, hire us, we put them on our timeline, put them on our calendar, provide them with deadlines for their premium list information to come back, their catalog information, if they're going to run ads and catalogs, and we prepare a premium list. We post that premium list on our website. We provide links if the club wishes to their website.
Right.
And then we do mailings. Sometimes we do electronic. Most of the time we do a mailing or a postcard mailing just because we found that it seems to be a benefit for the exhibitor to have something tangible in their hand, mm-hmm. even if it's not a premium. If it's a postcard, it's something that they can file and have a reminder of closing.
Right.
We're doing more and more of the email reminders, which is, I think, effective for the clubs just to say, hey, you know, right. this Albury's going to close on Wednesday.
And so you're seeing a lot of sort of the wave of the future stuff. You're seeing that be pretty much digital. You're seeing a lot less, if you will, dead trees going in.
Well, we'd like to. I mean, ideally, we would like to see less dead trees. And, you know, whenever we do either an electronic only or a postcard mailing, we also clearly state that if that exhibitor that's reading this email or reading the postcard wants to receive a mailed copy, all they've got to do is send us an email or pick up the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And an all breed that's a good, let's say, 1,500 dog all breed on average, we probably only mail maybe 30 or 40 premium lists.
Wow.
One thing I found statistically with us, I can't speak for all the superintendents, but I know our entries that come in online, typically, depending on the location of the show, but you know, when you look at the entire entry statistics for a show, I would say on the West Coast, it's a little less the further east you go, and mm-hmm. I don't know what the reason for that is.
Hmm.
I guess more mail is, we see a little north of 90% online.
Wow. Wow.
So, and quite frankly, the postal service is getting worse. You know, we'll see.
Don't go there.
Seattle. Well, we're north of Seattle, Burlington,
right.
and there seems to be kind of a pattern of mail within, like if you mail me something, I tend to get it in a couple days.
Right.
If somebody from Olympia mails something, it takes a week. And
weird.
Figure that one out. Yeah. We haven't been able to figure it out, so it's a little risky for the exhibitors to mail unless they do it prior to a week out.
Sure.
And because some of the mail we get is postmarked and it's taken 7 or 8 days, and that just is crazy.
So we're on the topic of timelines and deadlines. Let's talk about it. Noon Wednesday. Everybody knows noon Wednesday.
Noon Wednesday.
And so, you know, I think that everybody has forgotten a closing. I have. Good Lord knows I have. So how much of that comes into it? People calling you frantically at 11:59. Oh, my God.
Oh, lots. Wednesdays are crazy. Wednesdays are absolutely wacko around here. I have a picture of Yoda on my wall that I'm looking at that says, if late is your entry, entered you are not. And that is pretty much it. We,
yeah.
You know, we cannot make exceptions, and we have people crying and angry and can't you please just put it in? No, we can't, and no superintendent can do that.
Right.
You're risking your license by breaking those rules. So
right.
that's set in stone.
Talk about the rule. Why is the rule there? What is this sort of arbitrary? Where did that come from? This is a curiosity. I don't even know the answer to this one.
Well, the entry closing can be set. It's typically set by us in the clubs, okay?
Mm-hmm.
AKC requires you to have a closing. We go to 2.5 weeks. That's standard prior to the first day of the show for a couple reasons. We have to prepare. We have to get those entries in. We proof them. We post the breed count. And then we have to do a schedule. We prepare the schedule. We send that to the show chair, the club president, whoever is designated to approve that. We don't post and publish anything until the club's approved that schedule. Then we have to print the schedule with the acknowledgments and get them in the mail. AKC requires us to mail those by first-class mail, so everybody gets their judging program and their acknowledgments so they know that they're entered before the show. So we couldn't do it any later than that and get the paperwork, the
right.
judging program, and the mailing taken care of.
Right. So it's just basic bottom line. This is why it has to be this way.
That's how it is. Yep. And I can tell you when we were talking about that 1,500 dog show that, you know, I sit here and look at numbers and watch entries come in. And typically on Monday we'll have about, for a 1,500 dog show, we'll have maybe 600 or 700 entries.
Oh my gosh!
And then the right. other 1,800 to 1,000 come in between Tuesday at noon and Wednesday at noon.
Oh my gosh! So your best tip for the exhibitor is enter early.
We do. We try to check. We proof the entries. You know, we look them over as they come in. And we try to, I just, for instance, made a phone call to a lady who's entered a puppy class and an amateur owner handbook class. Perfectly legal for her to do that. I'm pretty sure her intent is to enter her puppy class, which is less expensive at this particular show, and be NOHS eligible, National Owner Handled Series eligible. However, she's confused, so she's entered puppy and amateur owner handled, both classes. That's going to cost her 4 entries, not 2 entries.
Yep.
So I just made a phone call and said, you know, send us an email, tell us if this is what you want. It's legal. Yes, you can do it. It's going to cost you more money. If you don't want to do that, tell us what you want to do. We need it in writing by fax or email, and then we make that adjustment to her entry and charge her the right amount.
And that also goes back to the question, we've talked about this actually on other podcasts. If you enter more than one class, you have to win them both in order to go forward into winner's dog class.
Correct. And so we explain that, you know, and it all takes time. And to my mind, that's just part of providing customer service. The caveat to that is if you enter at 11 o'clock on Wednesday and the entries close, we have to process your entry and charge you for those 4 classes, whether that's what you wanted or not, because that's what you've entered.
Right.
So if you wait until the last minute as an exhibitor, you're losing the opportunity for us to help you correct problems.
Right, right.
Because we can't process 800 entries in 4 hours and catch everything.
Nobody
can. So it's really a good idea to enter earlier, and you have until closing time. If you know, your dog gets sick and you have to cancel, you can do that. There's a processing, and we charge $5. There's a processing fee for that because it takes manpower and time to go in and, you know, make those adjustments and write a check back and so on and so forth. But it's a better option because if you have made a mistake on your entry, we're going to try to catch it. No guarantee that we can catch all of them, but we definitely can't catch the ones that come in on a closing morning when we're looking at, you know, a printer that doesn't stop running for hours on end. And
can't even imagine. So, okay, changing subjects just a little bit. You were talking at the beginning of the show, we were talking about there are 7 superintendents that cover the country, correct?
Correct.
And so can you talk to us a little bit about the organization called the Dog Show Superintendents Association?
The Dog Show Superintendents Association is a group of licensed superintendents that's gotten together. We have an annual meeting with AKC to have a back and forth with them as far as what's working, what doesn't work, what we would like to have changed, what they would like to have changed, meaning AKC. And we also have an agreement that if something drastic should happen to one of us, the other members of the organization will step in and help out.
So that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it is. During Hurricane Katrina, when Rogers Dog Shows was in business, they were out of business, obviously, during that time. And we stepped in, Onofrio stepped in, MBS stepped in. You know, some of us did catalog work. Some of us processed entries. And we got their show going. We got them their armbands and their judges' books and their deliverables and kept them in business during that time.
Wow.
And that's what we've all agreed to do for one another.
I didn't even know that. That is really actually pretty awesome, Becky. I like that a lot.
It is. Yeah, it is. So if we were to have, you know, God forbid in this part of the world, a major earthquake or something, you know, we could turn to the other superintendents and say, help us. We're out of commission for a few weeks. And they would do that. And we would do the same for them.
That is very, very cool. Okay, so a final note, talking to our exhibitors. And I ask everybody this, every interview gets to answer this question, so you're not alone. What kinds of things can you think of? What are your recommendations with 30, 40 years in the sport and your involvement? How can we move forward? How do we improve our sport? What is it that we can all do, each one of us as exhibitors, to make this a better place to be?
Well, one of my pet peeves is mentoring, and I blame the internet, and I say that kind of jokingly, but back in our day, when somebody wanted a puppy, they would find a breeder that they wanted to work with. If they were novice, they would be brought along by that breeder and told how to or shown how to make an entry. We have people come in the office that say, I'd like to enter my dog. I've got this purebred dog. Comes from, you know, a recognizable, to me, kennel, and nobody's told them how to fill out an entry form. So, you know, in my day, I bought my first dog to show, and it was a Rottweiler, so there wasn't a lot of grooming to do, but I was told to keep it clean and at the right weight and, you know, do the toes and bring it to the show, and I sat on a chair and watched and was brought along that way. And now people buy a dog off the internet. They might ship it across the country, and it's like, okay, the check's cashed and you're on your own. Mm. I personally think in most breeds we've got handlers, bless them, and we've got pretty serious breeders and exhibitors. And I always go back to this thought of, if I had a puppy that I bought from the East Coast, let's say, and I took my 6 or 7 month old dog to a dog show, not having the faintest idea what I should do with it, and walked up to the Rottweiler ring, I'd probably go, oh my God, and run away. Right. So I think the thing that we can do, and you're doing it quite well with this podcast, is to mentor. If you see somebody that looks scared to death and confused, stop and take a minute and say, hey, what's up? You know, can I help? You know, give them the benefit of the doubt. Give them 5 minutes, 10 minutes, you know, be a little bit more welcoming. And I do see that. You know, I see people on our social media outlets saying, you know, this person is new and ha 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 and that kind of thing. No, you know, mm-hmm. if you see somebody that's new, give them some time and help bring them along. And I think that that is probably the best thing that we could do.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. Becky, thank you so much. I really, really appreciate your time. I know you are super crazy busy, and you were very gracious to give us half an hour. And I look forward to working with you more in the future.
Okay, sounds
All
good.
Right.
I appreciate the time.
Thanks so
All
much.
Right. Thanks, All right. Laura.
As always, if you have any questions or input, we'd love to hear from you. The show notes and links to resources on today's topic are available at puredogtalk.com. Drop us a note in the comments or email to laura@puredogtalk.com. Remember, guys, this podcast is for you. So if you want to know something, give me a holler. We'll do a podcast for you. If you wouldn't mind, you could help me out here. Take a couple minutes to visit iTunes and give us a review. This will help share the love with others out there in the sport. This has been Pure Dog Talk with your host, Laura Reeves. We hope you can join us next time as we continue on the journey to success with your purebred dog.